Well, good evening, everyone. Isn't it good to be in church on a Friday night? Praise the Lord. Well, I'm just so honored, delighted to be with you all on this beautiful, sunny day. Praise the Lord. And I'm just always amazed that folks would actually come out on a Friday night, come hear me preach. Praise the Lord. I'm just so honored and delighted to be with you. And how about this? Let's just get in a cookie jar tonight. Let's just see what God has for each and every one of us. The Bible says, seek and you'll find, knock and shall be opened to you. Praise the Lord. So it's good to be with all of you. It's good to have the pastors from various family churches. Praise the Lord. And, you know, we're just getting started. Amen. We're going to grow and grow until heaven is populated, hell is plundered, and Jesus can come. Praise the Lord. Hey, I have some things rolling in my heart. I don't have a sermon. I stopped teaching sermons many, many years ago, praise the Lord, but I went from teaching sermons to preaching the Word of God, and so I got some things stirring in my heart, and I'm going to trust God and with your help to get those things out. I believe it's something that will help each and every one of us. You know, my goal is not to dazzle you with my preaching ability. So if you've heard me preach, you know I can't do that. I can't dazzle you. But, you know, my goal is to point you to Him. And it's my desire that after tonight, you'll be closer to Jesus, more in love with Him, walking closer to Him, and knowing His ways. Amen. And so that's what we want to do tonight. And so if you have your Bibles, I'm going to invite you to open them, the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. We'll get right into the Word to see what God has for us. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 11. Thank you, Jesus. Once the pages have stopped turning, we'll go ahead and pray again. And then we'll jump right in. Hebrews 11:6. Father, we're so honored, delighted to be here tonight. Father, we're honored to be in your house. We're honored to be in your presence. And Father, we're hungry. We're thirsty. And Father, you said they that hunger and they that thirst shall be filled. So Father, we know tonight we shall be filled. We shall be filled with the knowledge of your word, knowledge of your will. Father, you're going to feed our spirits. And Father, we are not only just word people and word churches, but Father, we are spirit churches. And we trust for the moving of the Holy Ghost. We know this, that wherever the Holy Ghost is, He'll manifest Himself. So we invite Him to manifest Himself. Whatever you want said, we'll say it. Whatever you want done, we'll do it. And we just want to make sure, Jesus, you get all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Lord, help us get this job done. In Jesus' name, amen. The book of Hebrews, chapter 11, I'm going to read one verse. And it says this, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So there's much we can learn from that verse. You know, we could look at the faith element that without faith it is impossible to please Him. So if we want to please God, we have to be people of faith. We have to approach Him by faith. But what I want to draw your attention to and to focus on tonight is God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. I want to talk to you about seeking God tonight. Would that be all right? And this is something that's been very, very dear to my heart. And there are some things I found out about God that just simply fascinate me. That anybody can seek God. And if anyone would seek God diligently, God will reward them. That God is no respecter of persons. And really, you set the limits when it comes to walking with God and knowing God. We know this from James chapter 4 and verse 8, I believe. It said this, you draw nigh unto God, and what's God going to do? He's going to draw nigh to you. And so you kind of set the limits on God of how much you know Him, how much you walk with Him. You know, if you take just one step towards God, how many know that's a good thing? Better than just staying still. You take one step towards God, what's God going to do? He's going to take one step towards you. You know, for the longest time, well, I should say it this way, a long time ago. That's a better way of phrasing it. You know, I've been at this 30 years, ministry 30 years, but I've been walking with Jesus for about almost 33 years. And, you know, my early years, I was simply delighted when I learned that I could take one step towards God and God would meet me. And what I learned, I'm forever grateful for listening to tape. I believe it was by Gloria Copeland. You know, there are certain tapes, certain messages that you listen to and they just brand in your heart. They set landmarks for the course of your life. And I can go throughout the years of certain tapes, certain messages, certain things that people have said that just kind of been a mark in my heart and mark in my life that just really caused me to go in a greater direction in God. But I remember listening after I was filled with the Holy Ghost. I got saved when I was 18, and I was filled with the Holy Ghost when I was 18. I went to Bible school when I was 19 years old. But when I was 18 years old, I got a hold of a tape by Gloria Copeland, and she was talking about the importance of praying in other tongues. And she encouraged folks that listened to that tape to pray in tongues at least an hour a day. Now, if you've been a follower of my ministry, I harp on praying in tongues because some of the greatest things that can happen in your life are a result of when you pray in tongues. Actually, Brother Hagin said this, the greatest miracles, the greatest healing miracles, the greatest financial miracles. We all desire miracles. He said the greatest miracles that he experienced in his life in ministry came after a prolonged time of praying in other tongues. And he said this, what he was doing today, whenever he said it, and what we're in the ministry, and his ministry reached the whole world, he said came in a direct result of praying in other tongues. John Lake said this, that tongues was the making of his ministry. You know, and so you see there's a common denominator. Brother Hagin said, hey, all the stuff that I'm doing today is because I prayed in tongues. John Lake said, tongues made my ministry. And so I was grateful in my early years that I got a hold of that tape and endeavored to practice that, praying in tongues at minimum of an hour a day. And what that was simply was this, that I took a step towards God. And you know, that one step profited me. And you've heard me say it before, but bears repeating, before up to that time, you know, of course I was 18 years unsaved. And how many know when you're unsaved, you don't really have the grace of God working for you. You know, you just have your own mind, your own will, your own know-how, and that's very limited in life. But up to that time, my life was sort of like this. You go up to a door, and I'd go up to a door, and that door would be locked. And man, I would huff and puff and try to open that door, break that door down. And through much effort and much, you know, work, I would get that door open. And it would just be a dirty broom closet, nothing in it. You know, just, man, you know, all that effort, so little did it produce. But then I started praying in tongues an hour a day. And something began to happen supernaturally. Instead of, you know, trying to huff and puff and break those doors down, my life began to be like Walmart. Now, when Walmart came to Fredonia, you know, we're a smaller town, it was one of these first stores that actually you didn't need to open the door. You know, they have one of those, you get near that door and that door opened. I mean, we just thought that was the greatest thing, like Star Trek is here and now. And we were just, wow, just look at this. You know, just, you know, remember, just like Elf, when he went to New York City, we were just, wow, the door opened. Look at that, it did it again. And so we just thought that was the greatest thing. But, you know, when you go to Walmart, you know, you don't need to break those doors down. They open up for you. And on the inside of Walmart, there's more stuff than you could put in your cart. You know, way different than that little broom closet experience. And I begin to find that out, man. You know, wow, this is happening. Things being in the right place at the right time, a supernatural element begin to happen. Why was that? I simply took one step towards God. And that one step, man, God began to show up in a mighty way. And, you know, and for, I would say about a year, I thought that's all you could do is take a step at a time. You know, you pray 1 hour, you seek God for 1 hour, and God, every time you took a step, He showed up. And man, this was great. This is wonderful. And it was an amazing thing. I could write a book about the tale of two roommates when I was in Rhema Bible Training Center. My first roommate was a little worldly, you know. He would have Elvis Presley playing. He'd watch TV. Of course, me being a holiness person, didn't listen to worldly music, didn't watch TV, and that type of thing. And he thought I was quite odd. And he didn't know why I was the way I was and so forth. But he was a little worldly. And by my presence there, it kind of brought him up a little bit and, helped him be a little bit more consecrated and dedicated. But after a while, he backslid, you know, because you have one foot in the world, that the world will eventually pull you out. You can't straddle the fence with Jesus. You're either in or you're out, because if you're straddling the fence, you're eventually going to take a dunk in the water. And so you didn't need to know that. But I had this other roommate, and he taught me something I am eternally grateful for. He taught me that you can take more than just one step with God. You know, up to that time, I'd pray an hour a day in tongues. I'd seek God about an hour a day, and God would show up and God would do things. And he said, you don't need to stop there. I said, really? There's more beyond the 1 hour? He says, oh yeah, we can wait on God 2, 3, 4, 5 hours. No way. Can you do that? And we begin to do that. We begin to seek God. And we would pray, we would seek God, and literally the glory of God would come into our apartment. We had a second floor apartment in Woodland Hills Mall in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Was an apartment chain, and next to the Woodland Hills Mall. And it had a bottom floor and had a top floor. Of course, we had the top floor. And our room began to be known as the upper room. Because of the presence of God, God began to show up. And I remember the first time God showed up, I didn't know what that was. You do know that the first time God shows up in your life, you're not sure what it is. You look through the Bible, every time an angel appeared or Jesus appeared, the first thing he said is, fear not. You know, it is I. And I remember all of a sudden, being in the room, and we were praying, and all of a sudden a cloud began to fill the room. And all of a sudden, I had the sensation like I'm going underwater. And it scared me. I didn't know what that was. You know, instead of Samuel, when the Lord first began to speak to him, that he said he didn't know the word of the Lord. He didn't understand how God spoke and how God moved. And in the same thing with God's presence, I didn't know that was God. And at first I was, a little apprehensive of it, but I knew it had to be God, because we've been seeking Him, we've been praying, and I began to, get in that a little bit, begin to yield to that. And man, the things God did for us. We just about kept the presence of God, the physical, tangible presence of God in that upper apartment during our time there. Because my roommate and I, we would have different shifts at work. He would have like the morning shift and I would have the evening shift. And so we just prayed and sought God during the time that we were there. And more than once, I would come home from work, and he'd be praying, and he'd be slain in the spirit, and there'd be just be a cloud over him. And I'd just come in, and I would tiptoe, go in my room, and get changed, get freshened up, and then I would join him and get in the presence of God. And the same thing with me. He would come in, and there'd be the presence of God in our room. What we learn that God is a rewarder of them that casually seek Him. No, diligently. Diligently. Know this, that my presence is everywhere. My presence goes with you wherever you go. But the more you step into my presence, the more you become aware of my presence, the more you seek my presence, the more my presence will be manifested to you. And when my presence is manifested to you, then you shall see greater things than you have never seen before. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You gotta excuse me, sometimes if I just pray in tongues all day, you know, it's hard to do tongues and English at the same time. And doctor was like that. When you just get praying in tongues, sometimes it's hard to stay in English when you've been in praying in tongues 5-6 hours a day, praise the Lord. But I learned something. I learned something that you can seek God more than what you're experiencing right now. And there is no end in God. God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And so I want to talk to you a little bit about seeking Him. And, you know, and we're going to see seeking God is not just for the preacher, is not just for the prayer warrior, but it's for each and every one of us. And we can draw nigh to Him. And I'm so grateful that when I was 19 years old, I found this out. That I can seek God and God would welcome my presence. I've proven it. I've proven it in different states, in different, even different countries. Whenever I sought the Lord and gave time to the Lord, God showed up. And when I mean God showed up, I mean God showed up. Up, not just, well, yeah, God's here by faith. I'm talking about the manifest presence of God. Even in the Old Testament, whenever the priests were as one and they began to praise and sing and worship the Lord, what did God do? God showed up in a cloud and said the priests could not stand by reason of the cloud. You know, God, if God did that for Old Testament, you know, saints, Old Testament servants, how much more New Testament sons and daughters? Amen. But the reason we don't see more of that is because we haven't qualified. We haven't diligently sought Him. Because, you know, Sunday morning, how many know that isn't diligently seeking Him? That's fulfilling your religious obligation. You know, what I'm talking about is on your own time. With Him, you know, and so don't be satisfied with just going to church and being Christian. We want to know Him. We want to walk with Him. So we're going to look at some things. We're going to look at a parallel in the Old Testament. How many know we live in the New Testament? But we can look at the Old Testament. As long as we filter it with the New Testament, it belongs to us. And here's a story, an account. I don't like to say story because some people think it's like Hansel and Gretel, never really happened. Let's say it this way. There was an account of Moses in the life of Moses. And so turn with me to Exodus 33. Now, God said of Moses that there was no one in the Old Testament that knew God like Moses did. Then God spoke to him face to face. And so we want to look at the life of Moses because Moses knew how to seek God and knew how to get His presence. And so we want to look at these things. Again, Moses was a servant. And what he had, we can have so much more. We have a better covenant based on better promises. And this is so rich. There's so much truth in here that I want to get at. Let's start with verse 7, and it said this, "And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched outside the camp, afar off from the camp, and he called the tabernacle of congregation. And it came to pass that everyone that sought the Lord went out to the tabernacle of the congregation, which was outside the camp. And it came to pass when Moses went out of the tabernacle that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he had gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord talked with Moses. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door. And the people rose up and worshipped every man at his tent door. And the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaketh to his friend. And he turned again unto the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, the young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And Moses said unto the Lord, See, you say unto me, Bring this people, and yet you do not let me know by whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and I also found grace in thy sight. Verse 13, Now therefore I pray you, if I found grace in your sight, show me your way, that I may know you, and I may find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people. And he said, My presence shall go with you, I will give you rest. And he said to him, If your presence go not with me, carry us not up from here. And wherein we shall know here that I and your people have found grace in your sight, is it not that you go with us? So you shall be separated, I and your people, from the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said to Moses, I will do this thing that you have spoken, for you found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. And he, Moses, said, I beseech you, show me your glory. And God said, I will make all my goodness pass before you. I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy to whom I will show mercy. And he said, You cannot see my face, for there's no man shall see me and live. And the Lord said, Behold, there is a place by me, and you shall stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass that my glory shall pass by. I will put you in the cliff of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand, and I will, as I pass by, and I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back parts, and my face shall not be seen. And we could read on, and it's all good, but here's a beautiful account about Moses and God, about God manifesting himself to Moses. Again, we can look at this account and say, man, Moses knew God. You know God better than Moses does. You know, Moses didn't have God on the inside. The Bible says we have this glory in earthen vessels. You are a temple of the Holy Ghost. Moses would love to have what you got. Moses couldn't pray in tongues. Moses was a servant of God. You're a son and daughter of God. Anything you see here belongs to you and more. We have a better covenant based on better promises. And so let us not make the mistake and say, yeah, that was Old Testament. Yes, it was Old Testament. That means we got something better. So much better. So much better. But in here, We see some principles about seeking God that we're going to apply through a New Testament mindset, if that's all right. And there's a whole lot here, but I see seven things that would just help us about seeking God. And I love to seek God because God's real. And God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Whenever you seek God, God will reward you. I don't know about you, I like to be rewarded. You know, you ever see these lost and found things? It says reward. You find someone's dog and they give you $50. They reward you for taking the time, finding the dog, and so forth. And, you know, natural people reward for good deeds. Natural people will reward you for calling them, let you know that, hey, you found my dog. You know, God said this, if you then being evil, know how to give good things to your children. How much more? And one of the greatest things God will reward you with is Him. In His presence. And to know Him. And we see it here. And so let's look at the first thing we can draw your attention to. In verse 7, And Moses took the tabernacle and pitched outside the camp, afar off of the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. Notice it's not the tabernacle of Moses. The tabernacle, or we can say the church of the congregation. And it came past that everyone which sought the Lord went out of the tabernacle of the congregation, which is outside the camp. And so this tabernacle where God's presence was not the tabernacle of Moses. It was the tabernacle of the congregation, or we could say the church. And notice it said that everyone that sought the Lord could go there. So what is this? This is an invitation. You know, and we're going to see Israel said, oh, Moses, you go in. We'll applaud you seeking God. We'll hear from God from your hand. But this is an invitation for you and I. And this same invitation they had, this was the tabernacle of the congregation. And this is everyone, or we could say it this way, anyone that wanted to seek the Lord could go there. Brothers and sisters, there's an invitation from God Almighty to know Him. There's an invitation from God to know God greater than you know any person on earth. I can honestly say this, I know God better than I know my wife. I'm more conscious of His presence than my wife is. Well, how do you become conscious of God? Well, just like anything else, you spend time with Him. You know, folks have often asked me, you know, in services, how do you know what the Holy Ghost wants to do? How do you know which way He's going? You know, folks have said, I've been there and I'm just kind of looking for someone else to show me what to do. Well, when you know Him, you know Him. And you know His ways. All right, Reverend, come on up. All right. I've been married to my wife for 20 years. I know my wife. I know what she likes. I know what she doesn't like. You know, you could say something about my wife, and I could confirm it and say, yeah, that's true. Or I can say, no, that is nothing like her, you know, with food tastes and whatever. But, all right, Reverend, put your arms around me. All right. This is not my wife. Now, I can't see them. I just know this is not my wife. This is some other spirit. Get behind me. Thank you, sir. You know, the same thing in church, in the service, when the Spirit of God gets the moving, you can know Him. Because it is the same Holy Ghost that you learn in your prayer closet that you can learn in a public flow. And I'm just like everyone else. I've learned the Holy Ghost in prayer, in fellowshipping with Him, in knowing Him. And so when I come to a public setting, it's the same Holy Ghost. If someone says, I don't like what you do in church, the flow of the Holy Ghost, that's not the same thing I have at home. Well, you don't know the Lord. It's the same Holy Ghost that causes you to run will have cause you to have a burden in prayer. It's the same Spirit, just different flows. And so you got to get to know Him. Well, how? Just like any relationship, you got to take time. Draw nigh to God, and He'll draw nigh to you. The more that you'll seek Him, the more He'll be found of you, and the more you can know His ways. But here, there is an invitation. And we have an invitation to know God. And I tell you, it's the greatest thing. If you just meditate on it, here is God, the creator of the universe, the God that flung planets with His fingertips, the God that is all-powerful and almighty, all-knowing, and He cares for you and wants to spend time with you. He wants you personally. Just the thought of that God wants you. God wants to fellowship with you. And God says, come. Come boldly to the throne of grace. Come. You'll find grace. You'll find mercy in the time of need. I'll show you my presence. Call upon me and I'll show you things that you know not. I'll amaze you with what I can do with you. And folks say, well, you don't want to get too zealous for God. You just kind of want to stay balanced in these areas. Yeah, I want to be very unbalanced. I want to be hog-tied in God. I want to be consumed with God. I want to be to the point where it's no longer I that liveth, Christ liveth in me. Smith Wigglesworth, when he got up in the morning, He would just jump out of bed and dance for like 10 minutes. And he would say this, that what an awesome thing to be associated with such greatness as God. How great God is. That God wants to know you personally. He wants you to know Him personally. He wants fellowship with you. So there is an invitation here, which brings us to the second point, which is in verse 8 through 10. And it came to pass when Moses went out of the tabernacle, and all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he's gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. And the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshipped every man at his tent door. Very, very interesting. Remember, it was the tabernacle of the congregation. Anybody could go there. But where were they? They were in their own tents. And when Moses came to town, Moses came around, they looked at Moses. Oh, look at Moses, the man of God. Look at Moses getting the presence of God. They had honor and reverence for Moses, which is good and right. We ought to have reverence for those that are over us and for ministry gifts. But they were very content to let Moses do the cookie jar stuff. Moses, yeah, all right, Moses, yeah, you go talk with God. You seek God. You pray. You hear from heaven, and you report back to us, and we'll honor that. We'll reverence that. We'll respect that, but we'll stay right where we are, right in our tent door. And every one of them could have went to that very place that Moses went. God is no respecter of persons. And so here we see there is a level that we can kind of get satisfied with in our walk with God. You know, here God is saying, whosoever will, come unto me, and I'll show you things you know not. I will amaze you. I want to be so close to you. I want to be all in all in your life. And here we are. Yes, God, we know you say that. But here's Smith Wigglesworth. Here's Kenneth Hagin. Here's Pastor Jeff. Let them seek God. Let them preach us a nice little message and tell us what God has said. And we'll shake his hand, give him $20 bills. We'll honor the man of God because we're comfortable letting someone else doing all that God business. It's not just for the preacher. It's not just for the prayer warrior. There's an invitation for each and every one of us. Whoever will, let them come. And we ought not be satisfied. Someone else getting the cookie jar. Someone else hearing from heaven. Someone else, God doing things. God revealing himself. We ought not to be content just to sit at other people's feet and hear their experiences with God. And says, yeah, you're a man of God. You're a woman of God. Oh, yeah, Smith Wigglesworth, man. Sister Edder, man, that's great. Just tell us the stories about miracles. And all the time, we could have what they had. The invitation is given unto us. We should never be satisfied with someone else's testimony. We ought to have a testimony of our own that I walk with God. I talk with God. I get answers to my prayers. So many people have faith in other people's faith. They have faith in other people's prayers. Now, we understand this when people are baby Christians. That's all right. And we that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not please ourselves, that we can carry people when they're babies. You know, when my kids were born, they didn't walk themselves to the hospital. They didn't feed themselves. They didn't change themselves. You know, when they were born, we took care of them. But Natalie's here. She is 20. She's going to be 20. She is 20. Going to be 20. 20 years old. All right. What if I was still changing her diaper? What if I still had a bottle there? What if I, you know, had to spoon feed her? That would be, you know, you'd say there's something wrong with that. And what if she was happy letting daddy do that for her? No. No, but yet so many times with Christians, we're content to let the pastor do our praying for us, hearing from God, getting praying things through, you know, going to special meetings and have like, you know, Dr. Webb or someone else come in and they hear from heaven. They're getting the good word of God. They got a revelation, getting our healing for us. And all the time, God is saying, you can come. There is no need for a mediator anymore. You don't need to have someone else do it for you. You can know God for yourself. Never, ever be satisfied. Smith Wigglesworth said, I'm satisfied only with satisfaction of the satisfaction never get satisfied. Now try to figure that out in some mathematical cube. What are you saying? The only satisfaction you get is to be unsatisfied, that there's more of God that needs to be satisfied in this life. Oh. You know, it's sort of like food. You just don't eat one meal and say, man, I'm set for the month. I had an experience with food. That was a good experience. Yeah. You know, last month I had an experience. I ate. I had me a hamburger and fries. Milkshake, too. I downed it out with a milkshake. Had me some dessert. I had a real experience with food. Yeah. Probably next year I'll have another experience. Once a year, I'm good with experience. Or you know what? During the you know probably when my relatives are in town, then I'll eat again. You know, special occasions I will have an experience with food. You'd say, what are you talking about? You ought to have an experience with food all day, every day, several times a day, continually, because it's good for your body. It sustains you and helps you to grow. Some of us are growing very well, you know, because we had experiences with food. And we understand that. We need food. You need the presence of God. It ought not to be, man, I'm just waiting for the next revival, next guest speaker. I'm just holding on for my next spring. No, every day, feast at the Lord's table. Hunger for Him. Thirst for Him. Look to Him and say, God, you're my God. I want to know you more today than I did yesterday. There's more of you. I want more of God. Never be satisfied. But these folks were, yeah, the pastor goes in, he's got a message. I get fed every Sunday morning. That's good, wonderful. But get fed yourself. Feast yourself. God wants to reveal Himself unto you. All right, we ought to get going. So there's an invitation. Too many people set their bars too low when it comes to their level with God. But here we begin to see what we can have in verse 11. And the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, as a man speaketh to his friend. And I tell you that's a sweet and wonderful place to be, brothers and sisters, is to know the voice of God, to know that you're walking with Him, to know His leading, His guidance in your life. And brothers and sisters, God can be so real to you. I found this out, of course, you know, I had a roommate that showed me that I could take more than one step towards God. But notice this, we'll jump right with this here. And he turned again to the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, the young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. This is so rich. Moses is talking to God face to face. He's having an experience with God. And after he was done with this experience, he goes back to, you know, the congregation. But notice what, Joshua stayed there. I love this because a lot of, you know, we have this saying, when Elvis leaves the building, everyone leaves. That's not true with God. You know, here, Moses is having an experience with God, and man, talking face to face, and he walks away, and Joshua is there, says, I want more than what Moses just got. And he stayed. And guess what? He was able to stay and get more. See, God puts no limits on you. It's simply up to you how much of God you want in your life. And this is a place you can come to where you know God face to face. And like Joshua, you know, with my roommate, you know, we would pray 3 or 4 hours. And man, God would show up. And I says, I wonder if there's any more like Joshua. You know, after he'd go to bed, you know, after we had the presence of God, I'd go in my bedroom. And I says, God, is there more of this? And I would sit up in my bed. And for the next couple of hours, I would praise Him and worship Him. And I remember, and you know, I'd go through all the A's, all the B's, finding things. You are awesome. You are almighty. I'd go through that. And just, you know, filling hours of just focusing on God. Nothing else. No Facebook. No Twitter, because it didn't exist back then. Just God. And I would sit up and say, God, I want to know You. I hunger for You for hours. Praise You. Worship You. And I found something out. What happened? All of a sudden, a cloud would roll into my bedroom. And I've had experiences where my bed would shake. Is that scriptural? Well, we see that in early church when they prayed, the place was shaken where they prayed. Now, the devil can make your bed shake, or God can make your bed shake. How can you tell the difference? When the devil does it, you'll be afraid. But I've been in the presence of God, and I wish you could taste it. His presence, I kid you not, is like love, joy, peace in the air. It's like you can breathe love, joy, peace. It's impossible to be troubled. It's impossible to have a worry or a care. It's impossible to be concerned about anything. That presence just rolls in. And it's wave after wave, saturating your very being, where you're beside yourself, you know, in the presence and goodness of God. Is this experience just for a few? He says, come and die. The problem is people don't seek the Lord anymore. In the book, Plans, Purposes, and Pursuits, Jesus was telling Brother Hagin to tell the church why we don't see the manifest presence of God anymore. Why we don't see the miracles like we used to. Over and over, and I've got that book highlighted, I got an ebook, I got it underlined so many times, Jesus kept saying this, my people don't take time to hear from Me. And that's the key. Time. Time. You know, we live in a very high-paced society. You know, thank God for Burger King, Wendy's, and McDonald's, if you're given to that type of thing. I mean, you can go in, place your order, and, you know, within a few minutes, you can leave with your burger. And bless God, if you have to wait more than 5 minutes, and you demand that thing to be free. But don't work that way with God. I remember something Norval Hayes said, and I've proven it to be true. Don't stone me for this. He said this, not much happens in the first hour. And it doesn't. See, in the first hour, you have to get past your mind and past your flesh. But most of us, 10 minutes, I got a ding on my phone. Oh, I just seen when everyone, hallelujah, 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 praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah, I got 5 more minutes. Praise the Lord. I'll read the scripture. Look outside. Oh, that picture needs to be straightened. Oh, yeah, I got my 10 minutes in with the Lord. Thank You, Jesus. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Draw nigh to God, and He'll draw nigh to you. You know, it's one of my greatest desires whenever I preach and when I mentor my ministers is I want them to be drawn closer to God. I don't want them to look at me and be amazed by me. I want them to be amazed by God. When I'm with them, I want them to want to know God more. I tell you, brothers and sisters, there's a whole lot more of God that you can get to know. Get to learn. There's so much more of Him that He wants to show Himself and reveal Himself to you. And it's yours for the taking. And all he says is, draw nigh to God. And he'll draw nigh to you. And so here you can see God can be so real to you. Here it said that Lord spoke to Moses, a man face to face. And just to prove that it isn't just for Moses, Joshua, I mean, it was just his ninny, you know? You know, ninnies don't have much of a count. I mean, here's the pastor, here's the congregation, and ninny's way down beneath the feet. Now, ninny is a pastor in training. He knows what that is. Joshua was just a ninny, and he was able to get more of God than Moses did. Yeah. Why? Moses was done. He left. Joshua stayed. I'd go to camp meetings. You know, I would save up my vacation time to go drive 20 hours and to stay in line for hours to hear the Word of God. And the services would go 3, 4, 5 hours long sometimes. And you know what I'd do after the service? Many people would say, man, that was a great service. Look what Brother Hagin did. I would spend the next couple hours walking with God. God, I want to know you. Hours of waiting on God after a service like that. And God would show me things. He would show me things to come. And that is not because I operate in office. At the age of 19, God was giving me visions, not because I was a prophet, but because I diligently sought him. The Bible says in John 16:13, part of the ministry of the Spirit of God is to show you things to come. I can tell you experience after experience, direction, what to do, what God wanted to do. Not because I was looking for anything, I was seeking him. And that is so very important when you seek him. You seek him, you don't seek experiences. If you go to seeking experiences, the devil will come at you. I've had to cast devils out of people that want to seek in experiences. If you keep your eyes on him, seeking him, honoring him, loving him, he'll give you an experiences, and they'll be God, and they'll bless your life. Oh, I could tell you the things he showed me. I would just, after hours of camp meeting and sitting down, you know, after hours of fellowship, after the meeting, that I'd just be sitting in my chair, and God would catch me up in the heavens and show me stuff. Why did he do that? Because I hungered for him. I sought him. I desired him. I wanted him. I wasn't looking for any experience. He would show me how to make right decisions for things. What to say and what not to say about things. Why? He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Are you hungry tonight? And again, the only reason I'm sharing this is to let you know there's more out there. There's some more out there for you. Praise the Lord. Okay. Let's look at this. Let's go to verse 13. Now therefore I pray you, if I found grace in your sight, show me your way that I may know you. Hold your place right there and turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. Oh my, that was my introduction, folks. How about this? I am about to fix the clothes. How about that? But look at this. Philippians 3:10. That I may know him. Paul didn't say that I may be a great minister, a great preacher, that I may see signs, miracles, and wonders. What was his aspiration? What was his longing? What was he seeking for? That I may know him. There's nothing wrong with seeking miracles, but seeking miracles is a byproduct of seeking him. You seek him, you get the miracles. You know, a lot of times the ministers seek to grow their church. If they seek him, your church will grow. Everything you need is in him. You seek Him. You make Him the focus, the highest pursuit of your life. You know, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things will be added. Too many times we were seeking, I want the miracles. Oh God, move. Do these things in church. Do this in my life. If you'll seek Him, you'll get all those things. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and being fellowship of suffering and being made conformable to death, that I might obtain to the resurrection dead. Not that I already attained, already perfect. But I follow after if I may apprehend for that which I've apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to apprehend, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth to those things which are before, I press towards the mark, the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, there's a high calling for you. In the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 2, it says, there is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. There's levels of the will of God for you. And too many times people are satisfied with the good and acceptable. Well, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, I got a nice church, I tithe, and I try to be nice to my neighbors, and I hope they'll be nice to me. You know, this, and they're satisfied with that level of God in their life. There's a high calling of God. What is the high calling of God? It's Him. Knowing Him. That I may know Him. Not prosperity. Not healings. Not miracles. Not trying to get things done in your life. If you'll just seek Him, you'll get all that. Oh, you got to turn back to Exodus 33 because I got to show you something that's awesome. But there's a high calling of God. High calling of God. There's more of Him than you're currently walking in. And it's right before you. Anyone can come and dine if they will just seek Him. If they will just draw nigh. You know, it's like this. If you're given to running, I'm a treadmill person, but so it doesn't work on treadmill. But say if you're given to running and you run 10 minutes every morning this way, street's called here, whatever street. How many know you're going to see some things that you would not see standing still? You know, because you're running, you're going to see more. Mark. But that if that's all you've done, all you do is 10 minutes every day, you're going to see the same thing. Same thing. And some people are satisfied to seeing the same thing of God. Same thing of God. Past 3 years, I'm the same level with God. I've been this way for 30 years. You ought not to be satisfied with that. You know, there's other turns, there are other bends. If you just go another 10 minutes, you'd see twice as much and a whole lot more than you've seen in the first 10 minutes. And you know what? It's endless of what you could see. You just have to pay the price and go the distance. Brothers, it's the same thing with God. God, I double dog dare you. Double dog dare you. Just to take a day off and says, all I'm going to do is seek God. Well, that's bondage, brother. Yeah, that's what you think. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. They that hunger thirst shall be filled. All right. If it's bondage, you don't know Him. You don't know Him. Now, I'm married. Okay? Because people hear me, I pray 5-6 hours a day. I love it. Woo! I'll do it again. 5-6 hours. Isn't that hard bondage? You don't know Him. When you know Him, it's like this. If I get a day off, I like to be with my wife. I enjoy my wife. I love to go. I even like, don't tell her, I'll even go shopping with her. Just to be with her. I don't go into stores, but just to be with her. And you know, when we go out, sometimes it's 5, 6, even 8 hours. 8 hours. Why? Because I want to be with her. What if I were to go up here? Well, I only do 15 minutes a day. Well, I only got 15 minutes, and well, that's it. And man, and then I go, oh man, man, 15 minutes with her. Man, there'd be something wrong with our relationship if I had that view. There's something wrong with the relationship. You say, 3 hours with the Lord? That's bondage. You don't know Him yet. He is the most awesome, the most wonderful being in the universe. He loves you more than a mother or father, more than a boyfriend, more than a husband, more than a wife. He'll do things that no man can do. He'll show you things that no man can show you. How can you be bored and just say, 15 minutes? Oh man, no more, man. This is hard. This is hard. Know Him. All right. There's so much, but that clock is bondage. All right. And notice Paul, he was caught to the third heavens. Paul knew God. He says, I haven't arrived yet. There's more of Him. There's more. I feel sad for any Christian that's satisfied where they are in God. I just feel sad for them. Paul said, I haven't arrived. I'm pressing for all that God has for me. There's more out there. I mean, Paul, who had the revelation in the New Testament, had visions of the third heaven. It says there's more of God. I haven't gotten there yet, but it's one thing I do. I got to forget my mistakes. Yesterday, I didn't pray. I actually cussed or whatever you did. You need to forget that. It says today's a brand new day, brand new start line, and I can start taking steps towards God. Don't let your past keep you from your future. Every day, new mercies. Every day, maybe you messed up the last 5 years. Start new today. God says, come. All right, we got to close this thing. I'm fixing to close. Exodus 33. Like in 15, if your presence go not with me, carry us not up from here. That's a sign of maturity. I don't want church unless God's there. I don't care if you have 10,000 people in the seats, is God there? I don't care if you have $100,000 in the bank, is God in your life? That's it. He says, if God isn't there, I'm not interested in it. And I love that, and there's much we could say about this. But look at this. Verse 18. I beseech you, show me your glory. He was just talking with the Lord, face to face. In another verse, he says, I want to know you, Lord. I want to know you more. Even though he's talking to you, there's more. And I want to know you more, God. And he says, Father, I saw miracles, I saw signs and wonders, I saw your part to see, but I want to see your glory. I want to see more about you, more about you, your glory, your features. Now notice this, and God says, I will make all my goodness pass before you. For the Lord, He is good, and His mercy endureth forever. Do you want God to be very, 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 very good to you? Seek Him. Seek His face. Say, God, I want to know You. I'm just going to wait. I'm going to fast today and pray. I want to be closer to you than I was yesterday. And praying tongues for a few hours. Get on your knees, read your Bible, and just say, God, I want to know you. I want to know you. I hunger for you. When you seek Him like that, God causes His goodness to pass before you. You don't need to chase His goodness. You don't need to chase prosperity. Where I am today, people say, do you have great faith? The things I have, the vehicles I drive, I've never believed for any of it. Yeah. I just sought God. And I put first His kingdom and all these things were added. I never used my faith for any of that stuff. Everyday money comes to me. Do you believe God for that? No. I seek Him. And He causes His goodness to pass before me. Is there any limit to His goodness? Go find out. Go seek Him out. Go search Him out and say, God, I want to know You. I hunger for You. I desire for You. And you wake up in the middle of the night and just say, God, I'm just so honored. So honored to know You, Father. I'm so honored that I can have audience of the Creator of heaven and earth, the God and Father, my Lord Jesus Christ, that you hear me. I'm your son. You are my father. And I want to know you, God. I want to know you. I want to know you. And God says, I can't stand it. I got to allow my goodness to pass before him. All right. We got to stop with this. Verse 21. And the Lord said, there is a place by me. That's an invitation for all of us. Moses saw miracles. Moses saw manifestations of God. Moses talked to God, was in speaking terms. He wanted more. He said, God, show me your glory. Show me your way. Show me everything about you. I want to know you better than people that know sports, know computers. I want to be an engineer of God. Yes. How you work, what you do. And, you know, Moses is just after it. He wasn't satisfied with what he had. And God says, son, there's a place by me. There's a place by God. What is that place called? Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the public place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Mighty. What? Secret place. Why is it a secret place? Most people don't know about it. And God says, there's a place by me where you can hear my heartbeat. When you can know my thoughts, that my thoughts become your thoughts. That you'll know what I'm going to do before I do it because you're near me. Oh, brothers and sisters, do you hunger for that? Do you desire that? And so, if I did anything, I hope I stirred you up a little bit. To seek him, to love him, to honor him, to be enamored with him. Allow him to be big in your life.